God, why are you deaf? Many people believe in God, but at some stage they just feel God is deaf in my life. So many people think that. They believe there is a God. Yes, they believe he cares for people. Yes, they believe God cares for all these missionaries out there. He cares for this person or that Christian over there. He cares, yes. And when I read the Bible, oh, praise God what he used to do. But then when it comes personal, many people, they don't believe it anymore. They think, oh, well, who am I, you know, that God would care for, you know, and all of that. But at the back of their minds, they come to the conclusion, God is deaf in my life. Now, he's not really interested in me. And they develop that thought, and that's a very dangerous thing because it actually leads to wrong theology. Now, we want to read Luke 11 from verse 5. Luke 11 from verse 5. To 13. And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, so he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for this account, and we do pray that you may bless it now. Bless it as true bread to our soul. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I want to start with a story. Please don't feel offended. There was once a very, very, very big woman. And I mean, she really was big and she was convinced she's demon possessed. There's a demon who makes her eat so much. So that was a big problem to her. Now she went to share that issue with her pastor. And then in his wisdom, he looked at her and said, well, this kind of demon does not go out except by fasting and praying, with the emphasis on fasting. And she got the message. You see, there are things in life we need to do. It's easy to say God is deaf. God has given us clear conditions in his word what we need to do. But sometimes we just choose to ignore them and argue sometimes very superficially without knowledge, saying God is deaf. It is so easy to say that. In fact, anyone could come to that conclusion who hasn't got the book, who doesn't read the book. Everyone comes to that conclusion. If we read the book, it's different. There are things in life we have got to do. I remember very well when I was a teenager, I think I must be about 12 or 13, I can't remember, something like that. And I was so desperate to have a racing bike. I really, really wanted a racing bike. And there was no way I can afford it. I was looking for a solution. I was thinking, maybe my grandparents, my birthday, everything went through my head. How can I get a racing bike? And at night, I was even dreaming about it, how I was riding my racing bike, my red racing bike. I still remember it. It was in my dreams. It was red in front of my house. And I thought, do I find a job somewhere where I could earn money and get me a racing bike? Well, I don't know what happened, but I do know for sure in the end, I did get one. I don't know where from, but I did get one. And it was so great. I was just so happy. I remember it so well. If I hadn't kept asking and looking for a solution, I am absolutely sure I still wouldn't have a racing bike. But actually, when I came to the UK, that was a long time ago now, about, 15 years ago or so, I had to leave it behind. You see, you can't take everything with you. And then that was a big thing. I gave it to a friend of mine and I couldn't, that was a big thing to deport to part from my racing bike, but I had to leave it behind. Now, here in our Bible reading this afternoon, we have a very interesting story from which we can learn so much. Now, imagine your friend you have known very, very well for a long time, a long-standing friend. You pray for him. He is a missionary somewhere out there in the jungle and he has to flee, and he grabs a plane, flies in here in the UK, and he gives you a phone call from the airport. And he calls you, please, can you grant me accommodation for tonight? And he said, hey, Peter, how are you? Yes, of course. And then you put the phone down and somehow you are excited. But then on the other hand, you realize, oh, I need to get everything ready for him. I need to get ready the bed. I need to do this and that. And then you storm to your fridge and you open it and it's empty. And you think, oh dear, I knew I should have gone shopping yesterday, you think, you know. But now when you need it, your fridge lets you down. How about that? You do not feel well. You do not feel great. But you think, hey, man, that my friend Peter, he had a long journey behind him. He must be so hungry. Now you need to make a plan. But you know what? The problem was, he didn't just call you at tea time, nor at 8 o'clock, nor at 9 o'clock, but at midnight. I mean, could he not have phoned a bit earlier? But as I told you, he couldn't, because he had to flee for his life. Now the thing is, you see, here in Switzerland actually, when you phone after 9 o'clock in the evening, it's very rude, unless you really know that person very, very, very well. Now here, midnight is everywhere a most unseasonable and unreasonable hour of call. And that's why it is mentioned right here in that story, in this passage. And at that stage, you are fully awake. What do you do? And then you think, oh, my friend, my neighbor, he's a baker. I could go and ask him. But it's midnight. It's dark. When you look out, it is totally dark. It is just so silent. There's no noises. And you said, but I've got to do it. I need to give my friend something to eat. And you are going to do something which takes all the courage you have. You go and you knock at your neighbor's door. And that knock
seems to be so much louder than in the daytime. And you knock on, no answer. And you feel so uncomfortable. And you keep knocking. You have got the cheek to keep knocking. And then you hear a voice. Who is it? It's me, your neighbor. You know, I've got a problem. What do you want? Well, actually, bread. Bread? The bakery is closed. Can you not look on your watch? It's midnight. I'm in bed. And my children too. Be quiet, otherwise you wake everybody up. I know, but actually, you know, I've got really an urgent situation. Could you not give me a loaf of bread? Because, you know, my friend comes and I don't have anything to give. And then you don't hear anything. Silence. And you thought, oh dear, I should not have done that. Now it's too late. I've already knocked the door. I've already woken him up. You know, bakers, they don't have long nights of sleep. They get up in the morning at 3:30, and that very short night they normally have, you have just interrupted it. How do you feel? Miserable. And then he comes. You can hear his steps very slowly, very tired. And then, because he thought, this guy will not stop knocking until I give him what he wants. So he comes and gives you a loaf of bread. And you said, oh, thank you very much. Actually, could I have three loaves of bread? Because my friend is really hungry, you know. And then he goes back to the kitchen and he gives you another one, another two. Thank you very much. Bye. And then you run away. That took courage. But I tell you what, in the end, you got what you needed. Wow. A bit different, but you did get it. Reread, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives, and he who seeks, finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. Now, effective prayer is the provision for every need and the solution for every problem. Now here, I want to make 3 points. The first one is sonship. A tired and selfish neighbor finally meets the needs of a bothersome friend. How much more will a loving heavenly father meet the needs of his own dear children? Now in our passage, he is arguing from the lesser to the greater. We have already seen that prayer is based on sonship. The address is our Father. Now, but Jesus used friendship to illustrate persistence in prayer. Now, God the Father is not like this neighbor, for he never sleeps. He never gets impatient. He never gets irritated. He is always generous and wants to delight in meeting the needs of his children. The question is, are you his child? Am I his child? You see, all 7.3 billion people here on this world are God's creatures, but not all are his children. Only those who have truly repented and put their trust in Jesus. Now, I've got a pen here, a really good pen. Now, this pen is amazing. First of all, it looks amazing. It writes so good, so smoothly. It's great. If I offer you that pen now for £300 right here, you can have it, you can bring the cash forward and you can get my pen. Would you do it? Who would like to buy my pen? Nobody? Just £300. Nobody. Do you know why? Because this pen is not worth £300 in your opinion. You see, that's why you wouldn't give me £300 for this pen. Now, in actual fact,
I wouldn't either. In fact, I wouldn't even pay £10 for this pen. But the value is determined by what you pay for. God paid with his most precious possession. He paid with the blood of his own son to have you. He bought you and me with his blood. You cannot buy, you can't pay anything more than that. This is God speaking here in the Bible. He bought us on the cross of Calvary. Now that means you must be so incredible, valuable in his eyes. Otherwise, he wouldn't have done it. I mean, he didn't do that for your dog. I mean, I wouldn't do that either for your dog because, first of all, I don't like dogs. But he did not do it for your dog. He did do that for you. Because you are not the dog of the family of God. You are his son and his daughter. Isn't that absolutely amazing? Hey, man, that is so good. Now, you say, but I don't feel that valuable and important to God. If I gave you a check of £50,000 right here on the table, well, what would you say? Would you say, well, I don't really feel that this piece of paper has got a value of £50,000? Mind you, I should have said the one who issued the check is Bill Gates. That makes the difference, a small one, isn't it? But whatever you feel like doesn't change the value, does it? It doesn't. You can feel bad or good. It doesn't change the value. Feelings are worth nothing when it comes to value. Only what God says about the matters is important. If you bring me a wonderful piece of inherited jewelry to the assessor, then he won't ask you, what do you feel this jewelry has got worth? He wouldn't ask you, would he? No, you would may say, oh, I feel £100 million, you know? We can say anything when it comes to feeling. But he's not interested in that. You see, remember, this is very, very, very important. Only biblical facts matters. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19 says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You see, checks, jewelry. Now, as we compare, all those extremely valuable things are just cheap chunk compared to your soul before God. So don't you sell yourself cheap in any way, falling to those things to give you identity. The second point is persistence. The tenses of the verbs are vital important here. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. In other words, don't come to God just in the midnight emergencies, which is not wrong, but it's more than that. But keep in constant community with your Heavenly Father. Now, this is only possible if you are a child of God. Many unbelievers come only to God in an emergency situation, looking for help, you see. But God wants a relationship with us, human beings. You don't go only to your mom or to your wife when you want your clothes washed. It's a relationship. Now, D.L. Moody quotes, a child once said to his mother, you never speak ill of anyone. I think you would have something good to say of the devil. Well, she said, imitate his perseverance. Nowadays, everything goes so fast. Everything needs to get fast. To go fast. Fast food, fast delivery, order today, getting it tomorrow. Everything fast. Now, I even realized just a few weeks ago, they start now delivering things on Sunday. I couldn't believe it. But I got lots of things on Sundays. The post, at least where we live. It's more and more and faster and faster. We need to take more time to sincerely seek God with perseverance. Deuteronomy 4, verse 29 says, but from there you will seek the Lord your God and you will find him. If you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. There's a lot of weight in this verse. It's just now doing, that's the issue. That's the point. And the third point is knowing it's available. This man knew his neighbor has got bread. Otherwise, he would never have come to the idea to go to ask for bread. Never. His mind worked like that. He has got bread. I need bread. So I go and ask for bread. It's very simple, isn't it? It's like my boy, Jaden, when he sees I put polos into my pocket, which I want to give them later on. If he sees it, he straight away gets hungry. He says, it could be literally 3 minutes after a big dinner. She said, oh, I'm hungry, daddy. Why is that? Because he saw my polos. He wants a polo. So he's hungry. You know, that's how it works. So he sees daddy has got polo. So I need to find a way to get the polo. Once we know God has got the help or solution we need and believe he wants to help us, then we can approach him with confidence. After all, God is for you, not against you. He wants to bless you, his children. He's not against us. The Bible says very clearly that if you, being evil, want to give good gifts to your children, how much more God? Perhaps you tell me, I have tried that and it didn't work. And I answer you, well, did you do it really properly? Everybody who is seeking God with a sincere heart will find him. Why? Because God promised it. Seek and you will find. Full stop. That's it. If unbelievers tell me, well, I was looking and searching for God, but he didn't show up. And then I find out, okay, what did you do? Did you actually really seek him? Did you bother to go to church, to evangelistic events? Did you bother to start reading the Bible? Did you actually bother to start praying and crying out to God? And then you find out straight away if they really have sought God. Because you can see there's no evidence in people's life that they actually sought God. So then I need to reply, well, this is a lie. What are you saying? It's just a simple lie. Now, if you are a believer, then I want to ask you the following questions. Do you fast and pray and lie in the presence of God? Do you set your heart wholeheartedly on God? Do you really seek him for answers and breakthroughs in your life? I mean, I ask these questions myself. Have you shown evidence of seeking him before you come to the conclusion, God is deaf in my life? Spurgeon said, I found it always a very challenging statement. He says, go learn to plead on when no answer comes and to press on when repulsed. This is the test of faith. Wow. God wants us to put some kind of effort into it. We can't lie in the deck chair thinking, oh, well, if God chooses to answer me, he will, and if not, he won't. This is a total wrong attitude which has nothing to do with seeking God. I know of a man who was desperate. He cried out one day, God, if you exist, show me. I want to know. And he did that prayer with all his heart. I tell you, not many weeks later, he got saved. And I knew that man very well in Switzerland. In fact, he went all over the world to seek for the truth. And he did find it. Why? He cried out to God with a sincere heart. I know of another man. I met him. He was in a real big mess. In fact, I met him many years ago in Gordonstown in Scotland. And he said one night, he said this to God, God, if you really exist, then you need to prove it to me this very night. If you don't, you're dead to me in the morning. This is what he said. Now, this is not just manipulating God or twisting his arm. It came from the right attitude. He really wanted to know, is there really a God or not? And he said this to me. He said to me, David, it was very simple, but absolutely amazing. He heard the voice of God so clearly saying just these words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's all. Wow. That is amazing. That man got saved that very night. God takes you and my prayer seriously. But you need to hold on till the answer comes. Because Jesus is alive. It is a fact. He's not just an old deaf monk up there with a long gray beard, you know, who wouldn't care for people, who couldn't be bothered. We prevail with men by importunity because they are displeased with it, but with God because he is pleased with it. Some people are like cows. Have you ever observed cows? I did. Cows eat and eat and eat and eat all day long. And they're so relaxed. You look at them and they are just eating, chewing their grass. If it is tippling it down, if the sun is burning hot, if it's raining, hailing, they are just there and eat and munch away. And then the flies come and then they flap their ears. Their life exists of nothing else than eating and sleeping. That's their life. I have observed them in Switzerland. And then, you know, they are so apathetic to the rest of the world and it looks like they are just so lazy creatures. That's called a cow for you. You see? Now, sometimes we are equally behaved spiritually. We can be so apathetic and wondering why God doesn't send an angel to sort out my problems. You know, and you can really, you develop your thoughts and you think, well, God doesn't answer me. But God looks at our heart and at our attitude. He looks how you really mean it inside of your heart. And he's looking if there are people who are really seeking God. You know, it is so easy to seek him with our mouths. But with our whole heart, with our lifestyle, this is not that simple sometimes, especially in a world where everything is so fast and rushing and lots of work. Are we ready to look to Jesus till we find him? Because God is not deaf. And he can hear us very, very, very well. Let's take that as a challenge for our lives. To really, truly seek God. Because we will find him. You know, I'm not saying in every area of our lives, but there may be some areas of lives where we really need to seek him until we find him. And that costs us persistence and real going on and perseverance. Praise God, and we will find him. Amen.